Good morning. Welcome back to the Broadcast Retirement Network. This is BRN AM for Tuesday, April 16th, 2024. And our top story today, getting your lawn and landscaping ready for the spring. Joining me now to discuss this and a lot more, Brooks Osman is the garden guru. Brooks, so great to see you. Thanks so much for joining us on the program this morning.
Thanks again for having me, Jeffrey.
And I can't help, look, I'm an Orioles fan. I'm from Baltimore. I can't help but notice you got the Orioles bird on your chest.
I have to represent.
You do. It's always great to see you. Let's talk about April flowers. April showers bring May flowers. Brooks, what do May flowers bring? They bring pilgrims. No, just kidding. Let's talk about spring flowers. And yay, look, things are warming up. Things are getting better around in terms of temperature. What do people need to know when they're looking to either plant new flowers or revisit their existing plantings?
Well, to start, I would say you have to know your zone where you're living before you can get started planting sensitive plants. But before you have to do that, it's important to do winter cleanup. Winter cleanup is removing old perennial flower sticks, dead leaves, things like that. Now, in my neighborhood, we have a lot of people that are sensitive about cleaning up the dead leaves too soon because you have caterpillar larvae in their nests and all that. And so if you want the beautiful butterflies and moths and great insects, leave that alone until the very last minute.
So just to be clear, you've got to prep the area, and that includes removing the old dead flowers and leaves and things before you can even begin this process of planting.
That's what I would recommend for sure, because it cleans up your garden and it gives you breathing room. It opens up space. It allows you to think about what annuals to plant come that time, which isn't, again, it depends where you live. For Marylanders or Mid-Atlantic area that kind of hug I-95, it's really the rule of thumb is Mother's Day is when you can plant the sensitive plants. But again, everyone's areas are different.
And in terms of let's talk about finding the right plants, and we can kind of continue the conversation around that. You got to know where you live. Hopefully you know where you live, but you got to know what plants are appropriate for the area you live in. Can you go to, for example, a store to find out what are the appropriate plants in your area? Where do you go to get that information?
Sure. You can go to a local nursery. Should have paperwork on native plants, plants for wet regions, plants for drier soil, deer-resistant plants. Your local nursery should have all that kind of information or access to that somehow.
And you brought up deer, and I want to, let's talk about Maryland, because I think you know that that's one of the areas you know really well because of your background. Deer, plentiful during the spring, summer. They kind of come out and they love to nosh on plants, right? I mean, and it's not just the deer, it's all the creatures. And that when you're thinking about this, you need to think about, it's one thing to plant it and plant it at the right time, Brooks, but you also got to think about the longevity of the plant and the flower through the whole year.
Correct. And deer will eat anything if they're hungry. So in the wintertime, they'll go after plants that they might not normally go after if they're really hungry. So deer can be a problem. We love our animals. They're beautiful, but they do cause havoc in your gardens. And not only just gardens, say you plant a new tree that might be 3 to 5, 6 feet tall and sensitive, you have to protect the bark of that tree because the deer will go up and rub their antlers on the bark. and ruin your tree, your sensitive new tree. So there's a lot of things to pay attention about when you purchase something expensive like a $300 tree.
Yeah, absolutely. You don't want to, again, you don't want to have to pay for something, put it in, and all of a sudden it's gone in 6 to 12 months because you didn't take the right steps. Brooks, before we go to a commercial break, I want to talk about your lawn, not your lawn, but the lawn. It's an important part of many people's homes. And I think last fall, we talked with you about how to prep your lawn for the winter. What do you do to prep your lawn for the spring, summer, and fall?
Well, there's a few things you can do. Certainly aeration is really important. This is the time of year you stick poles down in the ground, or however you do it, I'm not too sure specifically, but you want to aerate your ground. And maybe at that point you can start seeding areas that have patches of bareness. And then you'll put a little bit of hay or whatever over top of that for protection and insulation until it gets growing. And then by that time it's warm enough, it'll look just regular right into your regular grass. But you have to do stuff like that. Now, if you're not against chemicals, you can treat your lawn as well to help get rid of the bad weeds and encourage just the grass.
Yeah.
So that's what I would do this time of year.
Yeah. And I'm having flashbacks to my dad. He still loves to de-weed by hand. I mean, I can see him as a child bend over trying to pull some of those dandelions and things out of, you know, to have the perfect lawn. But Brooks, if you want a seed, how do you find the right, again, I guess it comes down to the zone. How do you find the right grass to put in? Whether it's, the only one I know is like Kentucky bluegrass, but there are, you know, there's Bermuda, there's so many other grass types. How do you find the right grass type for your region?
I guess you would have to maybe take a picture of your grass, maybe kind of an up close picture, use one of those plant apps and find out what grass you have, or take a sample to your local nursery and they can tell you what type of grass it is, and then they can steer you to the right grass seed. Again, I really love our local nurseries because I like supporting local businesses. Sure. And they also have the knowledge. There's people in these local nurseries that have been working for these companies for 40 years, and you know, you can pick their brains of knowledge, and really that's some of the best information you can get.
Yeah, really good point. Well, Brooks, I need to take a very quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about mulching, landscaping, and a lot more. You're going to want to stay tuned right here on BRN AM. Imagine a new television network that will make you richer, healthier, and in control of your financial future. This network is for the policewoman in Nashville, Tennessee, the baker in Dubuque, Iowa, the teacher in Lexington, Kentucky. We want to make the idea of savings and retirement culturally relevant. But what do you see as a defining issue of the midterms? Especially for the smaller businesses, I mean, they are the lifeblood of the American economy. Featuring exclusive interviews, current affairs, and docuseries. 33 years old, you retired early.
The philosophy is money only matters if it helps you live a life that you love.
But you gotta start thinking about retirement as soon as you get in.
The Broadcast Retirement Network will drive very high engagement with premium partnerships. So this isn't retirement and savings for your parents or grandparents. This is for all Americans. And we're gonna change the way you think about money. Welcome to the next frontier of retirement and savings. This is BRN, the Broadcast Retirement Network. Well, Brooks, thanks so much for staying with us. Really appreciate hanging around for segment number 2 this morning.
Glad to be back with you, Jeffrey.
And, you know, while I have you, I know you're in the Baltimore area. We were talking offline about the Francis Scott Key Bridge. How are things going in Maryland? I mean, obviously a tragic set of events. And that bridge had been up for over 40 years.
Yes, definitely tragic. Feel for the families that lost loved ones, of course. But it looks like a long process ahead for Baltimore and everyone to clean up and remove the debris and everything to get the port back in operation. That's the most important thing. Lots of jobs are on the line right now.
Yeah, absolutely. And a lot of smaller businesses, truckers, people that actually offload or load these ships. So again, positive thoughts to all these individuals, including the ones who lost loved ones. All right, Brooke, let's talk about, I want to talk about mulching. A good mulch. What do you have to know about mulching? I'm thinking about the smell of fresh mulch. There's nothing like it, but what do you have to know before you buy the mulch from your local store, have it shipped over or brought over, and then put it in?
Sure. Well, when it comes to mulch, I think about the quality and the type of mulch to get, and how am I going to easily lay it down? So you got to think about, do you need a truck delivery, and then you have your wheelbarrow and a pitchfork, or do you have staircases and a backyard that goes up a hill? You may need to get your mulch through bagged mulch. So those are important things to consider. How am I going to be able to mulch once I get it? Now, the type of mulch is really important. I prefer natural hardwood, shredded hardwood mulch. That's what it is. Natural shredded hardwood mulch. That's the best stuff, in my opinion. And you put it like 2-3 inches thick, and it just really helps with the weeds.
And what are you mentioned the weeds, and I'm thinking about the backbreaking work. It is so, especially as you get older, it's difficult to move things into the backyard and do those things. It's really, I think, a younger person's game, but that's just my personal opinion. I know you enjoy doing a lot of that. But what are the benefits of having mulch? You mentioned the weeds, keeping the weeds down. It's a great look. It's a darker look against the green grass. But what are some of the other benefits?
It helps retain moisture. So some of those droughts, those hot summer days, the dog days of summer, it helps protect the drought and locks the moisture in. Also, it's like a blanket protection for the plants. It gives them, it keeps weeds and vines from growing up the trunks of these bushes and small trees. And then that'll suffocate your plant, and it just is not good. So the mulch helps with that as well.
And last question, Brooks, let's talk a little bit about watering. And again, this is going to be dependent on if you live in Arizona, you're probably going to have to, well, first of all, you may not have a real lawn, but if you live in an area that maybe is dry, how do you water appropriately? And you have to be cognizant, by the way, of local water restrictions if you are in a drought type of area.
Sure. Well, there's a lot of different theories of how to best water. It is advisable usually not to water in the middle of the hot day of your day, but if that's the only time you can water, then your plants are going to want that drink anyway. A lot of people say not to water the flowers and the leaves, just water below. But I try to just water evenly everywhere, including the ground where there may not be plants. Everything needs a drink, and it just all needs to come together. So that's, I like to water in the mornings or in the evenings, or both if it's really hot. It just depends. My rule of thumb is if it's over 88 degrees, and it's hot and sunny, then I'm probably going to water most of my stuff. Like my potted plants, like that are on the porch or whatever, I will have to water them every day if it's at least 88 degrees. Your lawn may not need every day, maybe a couple times a week.
Does the humidity of the region play a role? So you mentioned heat and temperature. What about humidity?
That's a great question. And in the summertime when it's hot, the humidity plays a very little role in it, in any kind of thirst quenching for your plants. So again, I water no matter what. Now, if I know I'm going to have an afternoon storm, I will wait until that happens or it doesn't happen. And if it doesn't happen, then I'll water after, you know, in the evening, I'll definitely water if we didn't get that storm.
Yeah, a really good rule of thumb. I mean, I think a lot of people, I think it's very therapeutic, by the way, for people to get out and do something totally different, push away from the computer, de-weed, do something with the lawn. I don't know, it kind of takes you back to nature. Brooks, we're going to have to leave it.
It's therapeutic.
I was going to say, it's very relaxing. It's so different than looking at somebody else on the screen and interviewing them. I mean, it is relaxing. Brooks, we're going to have to leave it there. Best of luck to all of my fellow Baltimoreans and Marylanders, and we look forward to having you back on the program again very soon.
I look forward to that, Jeffrey. It's always a pleasure to be on your program. Thank you.
And that wraps up this episode of BRN AM. Have a topic of interest, someone you think we should talk to, then drop us a line. And don't forget, for all the latest curated news and lifestyle, wellness, finance, tech, so much more, all in one place, check out today's edition of our daily newsletter, The Morning Pulse. Want to search our archives, check out our latest content? Well, visit our website. We're back again tomorrow for another edition of BRN AM. We'll have a very special guest and another important topic. Until then, I'm Jeff Snyder. Stay safe. Keep on saving. And don't forget, roll with the changes. Now is your opportunity to co-create content around any topic on the First Lifestyle and Wellness Network. Reach a global audience through our platform and co-own exclusive branded content. All of our programs are available on demand and also as audio-only podcasts, so you can take us on the go. Broadcast Retirement Network, available anytime, anywhere, and on any device.